Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we sift through complex data, extract the surprising truths, and give you the knowledge you need to be seriously well-informed quickly. Today, we're plunging into a technological transformation that is, well, it's reshaping one of the oldest professions out there, teaching. We are looking at the rapid, and I mean rapid, integration of artificial intelligence into educational environments. Specifically, we're focusing on English language teaching, or ELT, teacher training. And, you know, AI is no longer this sort of peripheral tool that a few tech-savvy teachers use.
Not at all.
It is fundamentally altering what we even mean when we talk about teacher competence. Mm. We're talking about systems that can generate entire lesson plans from scratch.
And not just one, but dozens of variations.
Right. And they offer nuanced, multimodal feedback, present teachers with these incredibly sophisticated data dashboards. It's a seismic shift.
It really is.
But here is our mission for today's deep dive, and it focuses on a really critical paradox. If everyone is given the exact same cutting-edge technical training on these new AI tools, why do some digitally skilled trainees just flourish?
Yeah.
While others struggle, or they disengage, or in some cases, they even actively reject the technology. We're going deep on the surprising interplay between, on one hand, digital literacy, so the technical skill, and on the other, personality, the core psychological wiring that filters how we handle uncertainty.
And that question, it drives us immediately to the central finding of this extensive mixed method study we analyzed. This is the core aha moment for you to remember today.
Right.
Digital literacy is absolutely necessary for trainees to successfully adapt to and use these AI tools. But, and this is the key, it is fundamentally demonstrably insufficient on its own.
Insufficient. So you can have the skills, but that's not the whole story.
Not even close. Success in these high stakes, highly ambiguous AI contexts, it's not just about technical capacity. It is strongly conditioned by individual personality traits.
Okay, so which ones are we talking about?
We're focused on three specific dimensions from the Big Five model: openness to experience, conscientiousness, and neuroticism. These traits, they act as these powerful psychological filters, you know. They basically determine if a trainee's technical skills will actually translate into meaningful engagement and ultimately high pedagogical performance.
The sources for this deep dive are, I mean, they're really impressive. It's a mixed method study that tracked 80 ELT teacher trainees over a pretty demanding 6-week AI-supported instructional module. Hmm. And they didn't just survey opinions. They assessed actual performance. They analyzed engagement behavior through learning management system data. And they did in-depth interviews.
That's right. We have a really robust stack of data here. So our roadmap for today, it starts with establishing this radically new definition of digital literacy that the AI environment demands.
Right.
Then we'll move into the stats, analyzing how personality actually moderates technical skill showing, where it, you know, amplifies the benefits and where it suppresses them.
And then we bring it all to life.
Exactly. We'll bring it to life with the qualitative interviews, looking at the effective barriers and the specific ways personality shapes how these trainees even interpreted the tools. It's a new frontier in teacher psychology, really.
Okay, let's unpack this shift in the ELT world. Let's start at the ground level. What is AI actually doing in English language teaching that changes the demands on the teacher somewhat? I mean, we're not just talking about grading multiple choice quizzes, are we?
Oh, far from it. No. The source material details a really multifunctional and deeply integrated role for AI technologies. It's moving well beyond simple automation. For one, AI functions as a powerhouse for generating what's called differentiated input.
Differentiated input. So customized content for each student.
Precisely. Imagine an ELT teacher. They need, say, 10 variations of a dialogue activity based on proficiency level, student interest, regional dialect preference. AI handles that instantaneous real-time customization that a human just couldn't do.
Wow. Okay, that's a huge time saver.
It is. And then it provides sophisticated discourse modeling. So instead of these static kind of stale textbook examples, the AI can generate fluent context-specific models of conversational or academic English based on a student's specific learning goal.
So it's more relevant, more authentic.
Much more. And then we see multimodal feedback, which is absolutely critical. This is not just, you know, a little red underline for a grammar mistake.
Right.
This is providing immediate pronunciation analysis using waveforms, offering suggested intonation patterns, or providing immediate stylistic revisions on a written paragraph. Mm. It just makes the feedback loop so much richer and faster than ever before.
So the machine is providing the raw material, the models, the immediate correction. What's left for the teacher?
the thinking part.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the final major role comes in, supporting data-driven pedagogy.
The analytics.
Exactly. This is where the teacher's role becomes fundamentally analytic. AI generates these complex learner analytics dashboards. They show patterns of student error, engagement time, mastery curves across different skills. The teacher is now compelled to interpret these patterns, identify anomalies, and use that quantitative data to inform their next lesson plan.
So they have to be data scientists now, too.
In a way, yes. It means the teacher must understand basically how to read a scientific report on their class every single day.
That immediately sounds like it requires a skill set that goes way beyond knowing how to log in and click the right buttons.
You've hit the nail on the head.
If I, as a trainee, have to interpret these complex multifunctional outputs, my old technical definition of digital literacy is definitely obsolete.
Completely. The old definition, you know, operational competence and technical skills, is just insufficient in this AI context. The current required competency is described in the sources as a hybrid attribute.
A hybrid attribute. Okay, so it's multidimensional.
Right. We have to break down DL into three necessary components for the modern AI augmented educator.
And component one is, I'm guessing it's still the technical stuff, right? You have to start there.
That's the foundation. Absolutely. It's what we call technical skills. It involves that operational competence, knowing how to construct an effective prompt for a generative AI, how to navigate the complex features of an analytics dashboard.
Just knowing your way around the tools.
Exactly. You must have that tool proficiency to even start the process.
But the real elevation of competence, I'm guessing, happens with the second component, cognitive literacy. This sounds like where the human brain starts actively working with or maybe even against the machine's output.
Precisely. Cognitive literacy is the intellectual guardrail. It requires deep critical thinking, the ability to interpret complex AI outputs, to manage bias that might be embedded in those recommendations, and to critique the information for a pedagogical fit.
Now, that's a huge stumbling block, right?
Yeah, it is. The research found that pre-service teachers often struggle here because they tend to assume the AI output is authoritative. They see a well-written sentence and think, well, the computer said it, so it must be perfect.
Can you give an example of that?
Sure. An AI might generate a perfectly fluent, grammatically flawless practice dialogue. But if that dialogue is too culturally generic, or it's way too removed from the local community's context,
or just doesn't fit the teaching style.
Right. Or if it violates the communicative methods the school emphasizes, the teacher needs the cognitive literacy to spot that flaw and say, no, I'm rejecting this, or I need to heavily revise it.
So they have to ask, is this linguistically fluent but pedagogically useless?
Or even inappropriate. That's the key question. It makes the teacher an editor-in-chief and a quality control specialist rather than just a content creator.
Which is a much higher order skill.
Absolutely. And the third component elevates the stakes even further. Ethical literacy.
Okay, this sounds really important.
It is. Ethical literacy encompasses responsible use, a deep awareness of data privacy implications, and making informed, responsible pedagogical judgments about machine-generated content.
So when an AI dashboard is tracking every single student interaction.
Exactly. The teacher needs to understand whose data is being used, how it's being used, and the ethical implications of basing high-stakes assessment decisions on potentially biased algorithmic feedback.
Can you give us a concrete ELT scenario where that ethical literacy becomes the critical component?
Certainly. Imagine a large language model is used to generate personalized writing feedback for students. The model, it's trained on massive data sets, right?
Right. Mostly from the internet.
So it might unwittingly perpetuate structural biases. It could subtly reinforce, say, standard American or British English norms as superior, even if the local context uses English very differently.
And the teacher needs to be the one to catch that.
The ethical literacy of the teacher is the capacity to recognize this potential linguistic bias and then adjust the tool's usage or the feedback itself to align with principles of equity and diversity. It demands an ethical conscience right alongside technical competency.
So AI doesn't simplify the job at all. It transfers the load. The machine handles the repetitive generation.
Interesting. But the human must handle the complex judgment and critical reflection.
Which is why this study emphasizes this huge need for what it calls the criticality demand.
Yes, the criticality demand. Or some researchers use the term epistemic vigilance.
Epistemic vigilance. I like that. It sounds like being a detective.
It's a good way to put it. It means being constantly alert to the possibility that the output, while it seems authoritative and polished, is not guaranteed to be correct or suitable. Because AI output is fundamentally context dependent and this is key, probabilistically generated.
It's guessing.
It's essentially guessing the next best word or structure. It is not DOSPL. So teachers have to exercise constant, high-level, critical judgment on every single AI-generated example, every piece of multimodal feedback, every analytic insight.
That's so different from older tech.
Completely. Previous technologies, you know, like PowerPoint or early smart boards, they didn't require this level of constant skepticism. You knew the content you put in. Now you must constantly verify the content the machine produces.
So if the new benchmark for success, this hybrid of technical skill, ethical reasoning, and supreme critical judgment, is so high, then just focusing training on the technical skills seems, well, doomed to fail.
That is the foundation of the research problem, and it leads to this crucial concept of the readiness gap.
The readiness gap.
Right. If training programs assume technical proficiency is the only variable that matters, they completely fail to account for the psychological demands, the complexity, the constant probabilistic nature, the inherent uncertainty of it all. It creates significant, effective, and psychological demands.
It sounds stressful.
It can be. For a trainee, being asked to continually verify, manage bias, and exercise professional judgment over a machine's output can be psychologically exhausting. And this stress creates that readiness gap.
So one trainee finds that ambiguity stimulating and exciting.
Exactly. While another, with the exact same technical baseline, finds it completely overwhelming and just disengages. The study was explicitly designed to investigate what bridges or widens that gap.
And the answer, as the data shows, is personality.
That's personality.
That frames the discussion beautifully. We've established that technical skill is necessary, but it's definitely not sufficient. So now we shift our lens entirely to the psychological characteristics that condition that skill. And we're relying on the bedrock model of personality, the Big Five.
Indeed. These five broad domains, you have openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. They are really reliable long-term predictors of behavior.
And in this context?
In this context, they predict things like how quickly individuals adopt new technology, their confidence in digital environments, and their capacity for self-regulated learning. These aren't minor preferences. They are structural components that determine how an educator will react to complexity and, crucially, to uncertainty.
But AI isn't just a technology, right? It's a very specific kind of environment.
Hmm.
Why is it such a perfect context for studying how personality traits are expressed?
That is explained by the theoretical framework that underpins the whole study. Trait activation theory, or TA.
Trait activation theory.
Yeah. TT suggests that our personality traits are basically latent potentials. They only translate into actual behavior when the environment provides the right situational cues to activate them.
So the environment pulls the trait out.
Exactly. The AI-assisted environment, it acts as this massive spotlight, highlighting certain traits over others. Think about the situational cues in the 6-week module. The AI learning involves open-ended exploration, it demands repeated experimentation, and it provides probabilistic, ambiguous, non-definitive feedback. These cues are perfect activators.
Okay, let's unpack that with an example. If a trainee is using a generative AI to brainstorm lesson plans, and the AI spits out, I don't know, 20 radically different, almost contradictory suggestions.
Yeah.
That scenario is just rich with situational cues, isn't it?
Exactly. That open-endedness, the availability of all those instructional alternatives,
yeah,
it acts as a trigger. It's expected to activate a trainee's tendency toward creativity and curiosity, their openness. It's an invitation for psychological exploration.
Okay, and on the flip side?
Conversely, if the system crashes, or if the analytics dashboard presents conflicting data that makes lesson planning suddenly really uncertain, that uncertainty acts as a situational cue expected to activate neuroticism.
Yeah.
And that could trigger affective discomfort, anxiety, or risk aversion. So the environment itself determines which psychological tools the trainee brings to the task.
That is fascinating. The training environment isn't neutral at all. It's a psychological pressure cooker.
A great way to put it.
Okay, let's do a deep dive into the three key traits this study identified as the most influential moderators of success, starting with the most beneficial one. Openness to experience.
Right. So openness is linked to things like intellectual curiosity, imagination, cognitive flexibility, and a positive disposition toward innovation.
The explorers.
The explorers, exactly. And the research overwhelmingly confirms that trainees high in openness approach the module with real enthusiasm and creativity. They see AI feedback not as some prescriptive instruction from a boss, but as informational fodder to enhance their own creative instruction. And critically, These individuals tolerate the uncertainty that's inherent in AI outputs, that probabilistic guessing we mentioned. They don't see it as a risk or a threat.
They see it as an opportunity.
As an opportunity to learn and grow. Their psychological disposition aligns perfectly with the exploratory nature of these generative tools, and that drives high engagement because they actually enjoy the process of discovery.
So openness provides the fuel, the desire for experimentation. Now let's look at conscientiousness, which sounds like it provides the structure and the discipline.
That's a perfect way to describe it. Conscientiousness is the trait linked to persistence, organization, goal focus, and method. It predicts a very systematic and sustained approach to learning.
The planners,
the organizers. In the AI context, this trait foretells purposive planning and systematic engagement with digital experimentation and, importantly, repeated refinement. Think about tasks like interpreting a complex analytics dashboard or taking a raw AI-generated lesson plan and refining it to meet 10 specific curriculum requirements. These tasks rely heavily on self-regulation and organization. The conscientious trainee, they utilize their digital literacy to systematically execute every step, check the output against the goals, and persist through the necessary and often tedious iterations. This structured execution translates their technical skill into measurable, high-quality output.
So openness is the explorer, conscientiousness is the disciplined engineer. And that brings us to the final trait, the one that acts as a fundamental barrier regardless of technical skill, neuroticism.
Right. Neuroticism is linked to anxiety, vulnerability to stress, and avoidance behaviors. In the context of AI, it correlates with very negative emotional responses, particularly toward technological uncertainty, perceived complexity, or system errors.
So for these trainees, the ambiguity isn't an opportunity.
Not at all. For a trainee high in neuroticism, the probabilistic nature of the AI output, the fact that the algorithm isn't 100% correct and the teacher must constantly verify, that triggers deep affective discomfort. They express anxiety or intense distrust of the algorithmic feedback. They're afraid they'll look incompetent or make some catastrophic error that the AI missed.
And that stress leads to what?
It often leads to digital avoidance, withdrawal from the complex tasks, and an over-reliance on the instructor for basic verification and reassurance.
So if you're high in openness, this AI environment is an exciting challenge. If you're high in conscientiousness, it's a structured project you can tackle systematically.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're high in neuroticism, it's fundamentally a threat. Mm-hmm. It's a source of professional vulnerability, even if you know exactly how to perfectly prompt the chatbot.
Precisely. Personality acts as the filter that translates the objective technical capacity into subjective, measurable behavior.
Now we move into how the researchers actually tested this powerful interaction. They used a convergent mixed methods design. I know that's jargon, but essentially it means they looked at the cold, hard statistics and they talked to the participants to understand their emotional landscape, right?
That's the key takeaway, yeah.
They
ran the numbers, the quantitative data, to measure what happened in terms of performance and engagement. And then they used qualitative methods, the interviews, the reflective journals, to understand why those behavioral differences occurred. They merged the two to paint a really comprehensive picture.
And who were these participants?
The study involved 80 ELT teacher trainees. They were primarily in their 20s, all enrolled in a mandatory educational technology module.
And there's a critical detail here, isn't there, about their prior experience?
A very critical detail. The participants had no prior formal pedagogical AI experience. This is crucial validation for the study.
Why is that so important?
Because it ensured that the engagement differences they observed weren't just due to who had already learned ChatGPT on their own time. It meant the differences were really due to the interaction between their innate traits and their foundational skills in a totally novel environment.
That makes sense. So what were they actually doing for 6 weeks? This wasn't just them sitting through lectures, obviously.
No, not at all. It was high demand, hands-on application. The module focused on core modern ALT tasks. Things like using AI for sophisticated lesson plan generation and revision.
Okay.
Designing and optimizing interactions using sophisticated chatbot technology, constructing personalized automated feedback systems, and critically, practicing the interpretation of those complex AI-driven analytics dashboards.
So they were forced to operate the tools and constantly exercise pedagogical judgment over the output.
Every single day.
So how did the researchers capture success? How did they measure performance and, more interestingly, the actual behavioral differences in engagement?
Well, for measurement, personality was assessed using the standard Big Five inventory. Digital literacy was assessed rigorously across all three of the dimensions we talked about: technical, cognitive, and ethical. And the outcomes were measured very precisely. Performance was quantified using an analytic rubric scoring from 0 to 100.
And what did that rubric evaluate?
It evaluated the quality of the AI-supported lesson plans, the appropriateness of the feedback they adapted, and their interpretation of the analytics, so their actual output.
And what about engagement? That seems harder to measure.
This was the behavioral gold standard. It was measured objectively using the learning management system's analytics.
So tracking their clicks.
Basically, yeah. The frequency of AI tool use, the total time on task, and most tellingly, the number of exploratory interactions they initiated.
Exploratory interactions, what does that mean?
Exploratory clicks mean they weren't just following the step-by-step instructions. They were actively playing, testing the limits, pushing the AI to see what it could do. And that's a key indicator of psychological comfort and curiosity.
That behavioral data is powerful. It completely bypasses self-reporting and gets to the heart of their actual motivation. So let's look at the baseline statistics. What did the average trainee look like, technically speaking?
The mean digital literacy baseline score was moderate. It sat at 62.4 out of 100, with a standard deviation of about 11.3.
Which means?
It confirmed the researchers were dealing with a typical mixed ability group. They had the foundational skills, but they weren't experts yet, which is perfect for this kind of study. And when the researchers looked at the simple correlations, the zero order correlations, they confirmed what you'd probably expect.
Let me guess. High DL, high openness, and high conscientiousness were all linked to better outcomes.
Exactly. They were all positively and significantly associated with high engagement and high performance. And conversely, neuroticism showed a negative association. This just established the foundational truth. Having skill and being well-adjusted helps.
But that doesn't tell us the whole story, does it? The million-dollar question remains. Does that technical skill help everyone equally, or does personality start distorting the benefit?
Precisely. And that's what the moderation analysis was designed to reveal.
Okay, this is where we need to translate the statistical heavy lifting into practical insight. The researchers used advanced modeling to see if personality traits changed the fundamental relationship between technical skill, the DL, and success, so performance and engagement.
And let's start with the overall power of the model, because it's pretty impressive. The combination of digital literacy and those three interacting personality traits explained 42% of the variance in engagement and performance.
42%, that's a lot.
To capture nearly half of the behavioral differences in a complex educational setting is remarkable. It demonstrates that personality isn't some minor footnote here. It's a massive structural predictor of success.
And when they looked at digital literacy purely on its own, they found a positive effect. Yeah, but it was surprisingly small. So skill enables, but it doesn't really drive the process.
Correct. The core insight is that skill requires an underlying psychological mechanism to be fully activated. The real story, the one that changes how we should design training, lies in the interaction terms.
Interaction terms.
These showed that personality traits acted as significant moderators. They fundamentally changed the trajectory and the strength of digital literacy's impact.
Okay, so let's focus on the most successful interaction first, the openness amplification effect.
Right. The interaction term between openness and digital literacy was strongly positive. The sources cited a beta value of 0.34, making it the single strongest positive influence in the entire model.
And what does that mean in plain English?
It is statistical proof of an amplification effect. What it means is, if a trainee had high digital literacy and they were highly open to experience, their performance skyrocketed beyond what either their skill or their trait could predict alone.
So 1 + 1 = 3, basically.
That's a great way to put it. Openness provided the creative direction and the psychological permission to explore, which allowed their technical competence to be fully realized through diverse tool usage and those deep exploratory clicks we talked about.
So they didn't just know how to use the tool. They were constantly asking, what if?
Yes, exactly. It's the difference between following a recipe and inventing a new dish.
So the openness act like an afterburner, just amplifying the existing fuel of technical skill.
Exactly. And next, we see the very strong conscientiousness application effect. This interaction was also strongly positive. So if openness is the why, the curiosity conscientiousness is the how. It's the systematic application. This trait helps trainees apply their DL most effectively because they engage in systematic self-regulated planning.
So they're more methodical.
Much more. Imagine two trainees with identical DL scores. They're both trying to refine an AI-generated lesson plan. The one who is high in conscientiousness will use their DL to methodically check alignment against learning outcomes, run multiple organized iterations, and persist until that high-quality output is achieved.
Their skill doesn't get wasted in confusion.
It's efficiently channeled toward the end goal.
And now for the statistical reality check. The finding that confirms why that readiness gap is so persistent and so real. The neuroticism suppression effect.
This is the one that really stands out. The interaction term was significantly and powerfully negative. This is the moment where the data contradicts a lot of common assumptions about training.
That a rising tide lifts all boats.
Right. It shows that's not true. Neuroticism actively weakens the benefit of technical competence. The data showed unequivocally that even if a trainee scored high on the digital literacy assessment, meaning they knew precisely how to use the tools, that skill just failed to translate into high engagement or performance if their anxiety was also high.
So the skill is there, but it's locked away.
It is. The emotional barrier created by the fear of error, the distrust of the algorithmic output, and the discomfort with ambiguity, it suppressed their ability to activate their technical knowledge.
So the technical skills became essentially dormant, paralyzed by anxiety. They possessed the capacity, but their psychological disposition created this effective barrier that just stopped the skill from being applied when the environment demanded complex judgment and risk-taking.
That is the perfect summary. And the simple slope analyses, those are the visualizations that plot the data based on high, medium, and low levels of a trait, they drove this point home visually.
And what did they show?
They showed that DL was a strong predictor of success only when openness or conscientiousness was high. But when neuroticism was high, the predictive power of DL just collapsed. Sometimes it even dipped into the negative.
Negative? How can it be negative?
It indicates that for those trainees, attempts to use the tools led to such high levels of stress that they abandoned the tasks altogether, performing worse than if they hadn't tried at all.
Wow. This finding radically shifts the conversation, doesn't it? It proves that simply funding technical tutorials across the board will actually increase the gap.
How so?
Because the trainees who already possess the psychological resilience will maximize the training, while those who are struggling with anxiety will gain little to nothing from it.
That's a stark but accurate conclusion. And to move past the numbers and truly understand the mechanism here, we have to turn to the qualitative analysis, the interviews, and the reflective journals. This data reveals how personality acts as a direct interpretive lens.
An interpretive lens.
Yeah. It dictates how the trainees perceive the exact same objective AI environment.
So let's start with how the different personality profiles framed the core AI tools. Was it a partner, a boss, or a threat?
For the openness profile, the framing was overwhelmingly positive. They consistently framed the AI tools as opportunities to try new approaches or a way to push my teaching style. The high level of curiosity meant they actively sought out uncertainty.
And you could see that in their behavior.
Absolutely. In their journals, you'd see evidence of those high exploratory clicks. They were trying out the tools' obscure features or asking the generative AI deliberately provocative instructional questions. Their core drive was creative play, just maximizing the possibility space of the AI.
Okay, and the conscientiousness profile. How did they interpret the AI environment? Was it a playground for them too?
Not a playground, more like a well-organized workshop. They framed AI as a structure-providing tool, emphasizing methodical refinement and efficiency. Their focus was on integration and execution.
So a powerful assistant.
A powerful assistant, exactly. They saw it as a way to streamline the difficult organizational aspects of teaching, like scheduling or differentiation or creating structured progress monitoring systems. Their behavioral pattern was really consistent. Sustained task progression, finishing modules on time, and using the AI to systematically check their own work against the rubric. They weren't necessarily seeking creative novelty, but they were seeking highly organized, high-quality execution.
And now the most concerning interpretation, the neuroticism profile.
This group framed the AI through a lens of anxiety and vulnerability. They expressed a deep, deep distrust of the algorithmic feedback, viewing it as unreliable or, even worse, as a trap.
A trap?
Yeah. They frequently mentioned the fear of making pedagogical mistakes the AI cannot catch that might reflect poorly on their future professional competence. Their behavioral pattern was characterized by reduced tool engagement, skipping over the complex analytical tasks, and frequent task abandonment when they encountered any ambiguity.
So for this group, the emotional load of that constant verification, of exercising that epistemic vigilance.
It was just too heavy. It led them to retreat to traditional, safer, but much less efficient methods.
The qualitative data truly emphasizes the severity of these effective barriers. They weren't failing because their technical skill was inadequate. They were failing because they were, quite simply, stressed and overwhelmed.
That is the fundamental psychological insight here. High neuroticism participants reported real emotional strain, feelings of panic or freezing, despite scoring adequately on the DL assessment. Their psychological disposition just exaggerated the perceived professional risks associated with the probabilistic AI outputs.
They needed constant external validation.
All the time. For example, one trainee noted in their journal that they spent 10 minutes trying to generate a perfect prompt for a complex lesson. But when the AI offered an output that felt wrong, they panicked and just deleted the entire task, reverting to writing the lesson plan manually by hand.
That's digital avoidance.
It's a classic case, and it's a direct result of personality interfering with skill activation.
This all illustrates the critical role of affect. Personality traits determine the level of tolerance for repeated failure, which, again, is inevitable when you're mastering a complex AI tool.
Mm-hmm.
Their willingness to take instructional risks by trusting machine-generated content, and whether they perceive the entire experience as an opportunity or an existential threat.
Indeed. It corroborates the need for a much more expanded conceptualization of digital literacy, one that moves beyond the mechanical operation of the technology to include attitudinal, reflective, and critical affective components of learning with AI.
The professional identity of the future-ready teacher has to include emotional regulation and a calibrated trust in algorithms.
It has to.
So we have this undeniable evidence that technical skill is filtered through personality. We cannot, and we really shouldn't, screen teachers based on the Big Five, but we also can't just ignore the findings. The study's most valuable contribution, I think, is its prescriptive advice for curriculum design. It's arguing for a fundamental shift in approach.
It necessitates a fundamental redefinition of digital literacy training. We have to move training past these simple technical tutorials toward modules that explicitly teach critical reflection, ethical evaluation, and effective management. We need to teach trainees how to handle the uncertainty, how to calibrate their trust in algorithmic outputs, and how to exercise that high level of epistemic vigilance without succumbing to stress. The most immediate policy implication is the urgent need for customization based on trait, which really just translates to differentiated instruction in teacher education programs.
Because a one-size-fits-all approach will fail.
It will fail. Since the effectiveness of DL training varies so widely, a tailored approach is essential to maximize equitable adaptation and ensure no one gets left behind.
Wait, if we know personality dictates success, doesn't this invite a really thorny ethical question? Should training programs start using these personality profiles to screen trainees? I mean, that sounds problematic.
That's a crucial question. And the ethical consensus, which is strongly supported by the researchers, is a resounding no. The goal isn't to screen based on latent traits.
Right.
The goal is to identify the challenges and then provide targeted support to mitigate the suppressive effects of traits like neuroticism and to leverage the positive effects of openness and conscientiousness. We use the data to inform scaffolding, not selection.
That distinction is vital. Okay, so let's break down the specific, actionable, prescriptive advice for each profile. For the trainees scoring high in openness, who are already explorers, how should the training be customized for them?
For the openness profile, the focus should be on leveraging their strengths through deep exploration. Training should offer open-ended, complex tasks that require creative synthesis.
Give them a challenge.
A real challenge. Instead of a single defined prompt, you provide scenarios that require the use of three different AI tools, say generative, analytic, and feedback, and demand a radically innovative lesson design concept. The curriculum should reward and even explicitly grade diverse tool usage and pedagogical risk-taking. Give them the freedom to play in the sandbox.
And for the systematic, execution-focused, high conscientiousness profile,
they need structure to apply their discipline effectively. So you provide structured pathways, clear checkpoints, organized modules, and highly defined refinement protocols.
Like a checklist.
Exactly. For complex tasks like dashboard interpretation, provide structured checklists for error detection and systematic methods for cross-referencing AI suggestions with curriculum mandates. They thrive when they can apply methodical trial and error, so the training should validate and support that systematic execution.
A good example might be a module that includes a structured four-step refinement process for taking a raw AI plan to a final polished version.
That's a perfect example.
Finally, the most challenging group, the trainees, high in neuroticism. Since we know their technical skill is being suppressed by anxiety, How do trainers provide effective, scaffolded, effective support?
This requires moving entirely away from a technical focus and addressing the emotional core. The training must implement explicit, scaffolded, effective support.
And what does that look like in practice?
It includes, first, emotional resilience training. Modules must normalize and discuss failure and error in AI use. Maybe dedicated sessions called Fail Forward Friday, where trainees share AI failures and the class analyzes the pedagogical outcome. It reduces the stigma associated with the machine being imperfect.
I love that idea. What else?
Second, structured trust calibration. They need clear guidance on which types of AI outputs require high criticality like student assessment recommendations versus low criticality like generating simple warm-up activities.
Will you help them manage the perceived risk?
By defining acceptable margins of error for specific tasks, yes. And third, mandatory instructor check-ins focus purely on psychological comfort. Not just technical performance reviews, but focused conversations designed to reassure the trainee that their feelings of uncertainty are normal and manageable.
The goal is to prevent that digital avoidance.
By providing explicit external support, yes.
This shift in focus is essential for supporting a future-ready teacher identity. It's recognizing that the teacher's job is evolving into one that requires profound emotional labor and ethical reflection.
Absolutely. The capacity to navigate ambiguity, to exercise high-level ethical decision-making, and to self-regulate emotionally. These are now core professional capacities. These skills allow a teacher to thrive not just in the training room, but within local school communities where institutional support for AI may be limited or non-existent. They have to become resilient, independent navigators of complex technology.
And this research provides an extremely timely policy and research caution. It argues vehemently against the dreaded one-size-fits-all policy implementation that so often sweeps through education systems after a major technological shift.
Yes, the sheer variation in adaptive success, which we've proven is driven by personality, means a uniform approach to AI training will inevitably create inequity.
It will accelerate the success of the already resilient.
And increase the readiness gap for the anxious. Policymakers have to mandate differentiated, psychologically informed professional development. And furthermore, the researchers urge future studies to conduct longitudinal research to see if these trait-skill interactions hold up over years. And critically, they recommend isolating specific AI tools.
That makes sense.
The psychological demands of interpreting an abstract analytics dashboard for student performance are likely very different from the demands of creatively interacting with a chatbot to generate differentiated content. We need to stop treating AI as a single, uniform environment.
This research essentially proves that designing an effective AI curriculum requires profound psychological insight. It's not just about teaching buttons, it's about teaching temperament.
So, to bring our deep dive to a close, technical competence, or digital literacy, it provides the fundamental enablement to use AI. But personality, that ultimately dictates the successful application of that skill, particularly in these ambiguous, exploratory, and probabilistic contexts that are so characteristic of generative tools.
Right.
The positive traits of openness and conscientiousness, they amplify success, while neuroticism acts as a powerful suppressor, preventing skilled trainees from ever engaging with their full capacity.
And a successful adaptation to the future classroom relies less on the technical ability, which is relatively simple to teach, and more on psychological resilience and a positive interpretive frame, which is profoundly harder to influence, then the true job of teacher training shifts radically.
Mm-hmm.
It moves from teaching educators how to use AI tools to teaching them how to cope with AI uncertainty, ambiguity, and failure.
That's a powerful summary.
This leaves us with a final provocative thought for you to carry forward. Since the personality filter is so powerful, and since we cannot select against anxiety or aversion, what specific non-technical pedagogical design principles must be universally adopted in every teacher education program to ensure emotional readiness? What does a comprehensive, effective curriculum look like that focuses not on programming skills, but on fostering psychological resilience, calibrated trust, and an acceptance of inevitable failure? Ensuring that every future educator, regardless of their intrinsic psychological wiring, has the chance to thrive in the AI-rich classroom. That's the challenge we leave you to mull over. We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.